we've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
You know that health is wealth, and ITAL is vital. They're not just some rhyming words. It's something that's just got to be heard. Who is responsible for your health? Look in the mirror, it's your very own self. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ITAL is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ITAL is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth, ITAL is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth, ITAL is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Jockey with the herb of the field for the healing of the nation. Fruit and vegetable for medication. So much food, so much variation. Sustenance for all generation. It's there in abundance. Vitamins and minerals and whole heap of nutrients. Anti-inflammatory and antioxidants. Give your temple a chance, cause health is wealth. ITAL is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth. ITAL is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Health is wealth. ITAL is vital. Try and take care of yourself. Health is wealth. ITAL is vital. You can't rely on nobody else. Vegan, we're vegan. Plant BS, we say. Long time Rastafari. Say I dey so he dey. ITAL, we ITAL. Nah, go no way. And that we root and we fruit and we vegetable all the way. Cause health is wealth. ITAL is vital. You gotta take care of yourself. Health is wealth.
Good afternoon. And welcome to another episode of To Your Health, a program designed to not only inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Frank C. Smith, the producer of the broadcast. I am standing in for Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host, who is still under the weather. Best of luck to you, Doc. We're praying. We're in the summer pledge drive. Our goal is high. Please make your donations early by calling 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. And show Dr. Watkins and the hardworking WPFW staff that you care about this invaluable station and information. You can also pledge online anywhere, anytime at WPFWFM.org. You can also cash app us at $WPFWFM. You can also text 801-801. Be sure to mention To Your Health if you call in or select the program if you're on the web. Today, we're continuing our series that started last week. It is entitled The Health of the Nation, Exposing Hidden Healthcare Crises and Cost. Today's broadcast and the series are designed to, number one, expose the cost of healthcare in the U.S. Number two, lessen your reliance on the system. Number three, help you personally save the high cost of suffering, lost productivity, and even possibly save your lives or those of your loved ones. And number four, you will hopefully simultaneously save money and time. Last week, I gave several statistics from reliable organizations that showed the U.S. spends $4.9 trillion in healthcare costs per year combined. We also showed that like everything else in healthcare, costs are increasing year by year, while simultaneously life expectancy is declining. We're number one in spending and 38th in life expectancy. There are numerous countries that spend way less and have better outcomes. We also stated that people who change their lifestyles radically have noticed dramatic savings in healthcare costs, including co-pays, prescriptions, and hospital bills. They are more mobile, think and feel better, and are more productive. We have as our honored guest today two champions, Dr. Edwin Chapman and WPFW's Joni Eisenberg. They both have decades of up-close, hands-on experience with the public health care system. They will testify to the shape of the system and offer solutions. In the interest of time, I'll only highlight our guest accomplishments. Dr. Edwin Chapman, he's professor of medicine at Howard University. He's a medical doctor specializing in internal medicine and has practiced in the DC area for 42 years. He's a leading authority on opioid research and behavioral health. He's a long-term fellow of numerous medical societies. He also has been featured in local and national media, including NPR, the Washington Post, Ebony Magazine, Addiction Professional, WSA in DC, and several international Spanish TV outlets. All of the above, plus his association with public health clinics, gives Dr. Edwin Chapman a unique perspective on the healthcare crisis in our country. Joni Eisenberg, she is an ultra serious public health advocate. She's got 35 years plus of community radio host on being at this station, WPFW FM 89.3. Her broadcast to Heal DC airs every Monday from 10 to 11 a.m. She's got 40 years of extremely active DC community health. Joni worked in DC's health department for decades. She is also known for her love for people in general and for DC in particular. Her love for organizing resistance, which she inherited is legendary. Joni also has personal experience with various inefficiencies of our healthcare system, which prompted her to be a warrior, the warrior she is today. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Frank.
So thank you, Frank. I would like to make a slight correction.
Okay.
I owe all of whatever knowledge I might have to Howard University College of Medicine and Howard University undergrad, but I'm not currently on the faculty. So that gives me a little leverage to say some things that perhaps some others can't say. I do give lectures locally and nationally with multiple organizations, including the National Medical Association and others. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you. I got some questions for you. What changes have you seen in the public health over the years? And what is the history? I mean, how did we get where we are?
So I actually started, of course, finished medical school in 1973, And it was shortly after that major changes were made in the economics of healthcare with the advent of so-called MCOs of corporate medical organizations that actually thought that they could do a better job. So there was a meeting in Jackson Hole years ago, and there really were a bunch of businessmen there. From what I understand, there were only two physicians at the table. It was really a planned takeover of how to access all of this money that you just described in your intro. And if we wind the clock forward, basically, when you look at our healthcare companies now, most of them are operated by accountants and lawyers, not medical professionals and not physicians. So they always have physicians in the wings, but most of those physicians are rubber stamps for whatever these corporate titans want to do. So I think if we really look at that, we've really had a takeover by corporate business over the past 50 years. And that's why we're suffering the way we are now.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And if I could just jump in, because I actually also remember that conference that Dr. Chapman was talking about in Jackson Hole. And I want to say, too, that I worked under the tutelage of two very prominent Howard University physicians, Dr. Paul Cornelli, who was the first Black president of the American Public Health Association, played a very prominent role at Howard, and Dr. Jesse Barber, who's also a hero in healthcare in D.C. So they trained me. So I learned from them, you know, exactly what Dr. Chapman just said, that we had a corporate takeover of our healthcare system in the early 1970s, that's still impacting us. They're the ones who came up with this idea of managed care organizations, et cetera. So that's important for people to know that there was a major shift in the early 1970s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I might mention, if you recall in 1965, when Medicare was first introduced under the Johnson administration, there was pushback from the American Medical Association. Mm-hmm. The National Medical Association,
yes,
the Black Medical Association, was in support of Medicare and Medicaid. As a result, there was only one physician in the room when President Johnson signed the Medicare bill. That was Dr. Montague Cobb.
Yes.
Again, a member of the National Medical Association. So I'm saying all of this to say that our perspective has always been that everyone should have access to healthcare. Healthcare is a human right. It's yes. not a privilege for the few. And so that distinction really brings us forward to what we're seeing today. We still have this division in our society, saying that some people deserve health care and others do not. And of yes. course, you know who ends up on the short end of the stick.
Of course. Mm-hmm. The real short end.
Yep.
Thank you, both of you. So how has the Medicare and Medicaid changed? And as well, you mentioned on Joni's show last week, the Affordable Care Act is being cut by providers. Speak to that.
So again, this whole corporate health system has been taken over. I would just come right out and say we've been invaded by the mafia. When you have a for-profit healthcare system, their goal is to make money. Their only responsibility is to their stockholders. Mm-hmm. Our goal is to save lives and reduce suffering. So when you have those two different goals in mind, you have to understand that there are people who may go day to day with low medical costs, but there are also people who have many complicated health problems that cost a lot of money. So when you when you're involved in a system like that, where the goal of the focus of one group of people is to make money, they are obviously not looking for the sickest of the sick. And that's where we're struggling. And it's now very open now that we have President Trump back in office. He's pulled all the covers off. And his whole focus is on making money for these corporations. If you look at what happened in December, on December 4th, with the assassination of United Healthcare CEO, United Healthcare was the largest and healthcare company in the country. Mm-hmm. And their whole focus has been on making money. Since that assassination, their stock has dropped almost in half. They've lost $300 billion. $300 billion. Every segment of that corporation has changed leadership, and now they brought back their previous CEO, who actually had retired, from what I understand, to a mansion in Florida. Some people say he has a moat around his house. That's how much money he made. But they brought him back for a salary of $30 million. So you can see that we're not talking about a system that's designed to save lives. This is a system that is purely designed to make money for the few. And we have to fight it. We have to go back to our basics, which means that we have to be responsible for every member of our community and fight for everyone to have access to health coverage.
Yes, yes, thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, we know that because of these changes that there's been a demise in the mentality that the go-get-em provider staff. And we know that the patient care is suffered tremendously. And we also, I don't know whether you can quantify it or not. I've got some statistics, but you've seen it, the patient care suffer, and you've seen the provider their health care suffer, along with the demise in their vitality. So speak to that as well.
So I think the District of Columbia represents the prototype mm-hmm. of what we're going to see all across the country. On March 28th, the Journal of the American Medical Association published two articles on the District of Columbia, and they called it a tale of two districts, meaning that our healthcare system, if you drew a line and divided the east side and the west side, you have the largest black-white death gap of any major metropolitan mm-hmm. area in the country. Mm-hmm. So our healthcare system in our nation's capital is the absolute worst in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's astounding. We have three medical schools. We have access to all of the top thinkers and innovators. But yet we in the District of Columbia have the worst healthcare system in the country. So when I say that, it means that we should not only look at the federal demise of healthcare, but we should also look at what I call the enemy within. Those are the people within our local government that actually are making these decisions and bringing these individual companies into our jurisdiction and destroying healthcare. 2 years ago, United Healthcare was brought in by our health department to manage the so-called dual eligibles. Those are patients who have both Medicare and Medicaid. And I can show you tooth and nail how they have metastasized their greed and for-profit system to our local system. So you, so we're seeing increased denials, non-payment, patients struggling for access to care. All of that has followed this model. So we have to look at our local government.
Thank you. We got to make some money for the station. Vicki, you on?
Yes, sir, right here with you.
All right.
It's my pleasure and honor to be with one of my favorite doctors in the world, Dr. Chapman, and one of my favorite coworkers, Joni, as well.
Yes.
Frank Smith, thank you so much. Thank you all for your work. Those of you listening, this is very important information that's being unpacked for us, understanding the importance of the work that Dr. Watkins and Frank Smith does. What Dr. Watkins has a dream, and the dream is healthiness for all of us. And we can achieve that, and we need to achieve that, because right now the government is not the place we can turn to get assistance, okay? Things are changing, and things are going to get worse in December because of the big awful bill that was just paid. But Dr. Watkins, Frank, Dr. Chapman, and Joni, keep us aware of what's going on. Health is a human right. Everyone should be able to see a doctor, get treatment, and live a healthy life, no matter their income or their circumstance. Dr. Watkins uses his weekly WPFW platform to reinforce this truth and explain what policies, resources, and actions make it possible. WPFW provides that platform for him to talk. Please, if you're out there, you're listening, if you're gaining knowledge, if you're being educated about your own health care now, or if you have been before, support this show that provides that information. The number is 202-588-9739. Or 1-800-222-9739. If you're listening on the internet, just go to the big Donate Now button and press Donate Now. Or you can text Cash App, $WPFW, or text WPFWFM to 801-801. It doesn't matter how you do it. It's just critical that you do it. Washington, D.C. currently, today, is under attack again. And we're going to have to unpack that another time, but understand that WPFW is standing with you to put a defense line about all these different things coming up. We are informing the public. We are letting you know what's going on, and we're working hard with you to make things right. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. You're benefiting from the extreme intelligence and passion of these people who know about public health, who know about medicine, and are here to help us. So please, if someone could get us started, we would really appreciate it. I don't want to keep talking because it's important that we hear all this vital information, but if someone could get us started at 202-588-9739, we would very much appreciate it. So please call, support Dr. Watkins, who, bless his heart, isn't feeling well, was going to try to come in anyway because he realizes how important these drives are. But we said, no, take care of you, Dr. Watkins, because we need you. We need you to be here longer. We need you to be here strong for us. So you have to stand up for Dr. Watkins. He has stood up for you for so many other times. Please show your appreciation and affirm the fact that he provides information that is critical to you. 202-588-9739.
And I just wanted to back up what Miyuki's saying. I would like to challenge some of the listeners out there who have been listening to Dr. Watkins. He's been on for over 30 years. He has a heart of gold. Many of you have benefited from his advice, from his caring. He comes on every week teaching you and encouraging you how to be healthy. And he deserves a lot of support from our listeners out there. So I'm just backing up what Miyuki said. Give the station a call and make a pledge for Dr. Theodore Watkins, 1-800-222-9739. 3:9. And many of you can remember specific situations where he really helped you, where he really supported you. I certainly can remember those times.
Me too. For sure. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm alive, you know, because I got the information that he provided and others provided as well. I'm 12 years out of cancer, and through the treatment was through natural means. This was a liver cancer. And you would be interested, Dr. Chapman, in finding out how I got it.
Wow.
All right. Joni, you've got personal experience with the inefficiencies of healthcare system from birth.
Yes.
So you want to talk a little about a bit about that?
Well, to make a long story short, I had some health challenges as a child and as a baby. Somehow, even as a child, I could tell that the system wasn't what it should be. Mm. And so as I got older, basically I've been a believer in a new healthcare system. We need a healthcare system based on people, not profits, since I was in my early 20s. So this has been a lifetime thing for me. And unfortunately, like Dr. Chapman said, I'm seeing the system get worse and not better. But I've also seen situations where when the community gets together and organizes, that sometimes, you know, we can win. So despite the fact that the system is getting better, and certainly in D.C., as Dr. Chapman says, it's frightening what's happening. They're, you know, they just eliminated last week. They're going to be eliminating healthcare for 28,000 immigrants who happen to live in D.C. and are financially eligible, but they're cutting out that program. The Mayor Bowser is cutting out that program. Medicaid is going to be greatly weakened nationally, if not totally eliminated. And of course, we know that Trump is trying to go after Medicare as well, which Dr. Chapman just described. If it hadn't been for the National Medical Association and a few other activist organizations, we wouldn't have even had Medicare. It took a lot of organizing. So we're at a very, I guess you could say, frightening point, certainly in the District of Columbia, as we know that even today, Trump is going to make some announcements about trying to further take over the district. But we also know that the people have power. We still have power. And so at some point during the hour, I can share some of the community-based initiatives that have worked, even without federal support. And we're going to have to at least continue to fight for and organize for our healthcare system. We need Medicare. We need Medicaid. You know, we're still fighting for universal health care, but we're going backwards right now. So we still have to fight to keep what we have. And then we have to think about new strategies to keep our communities healthy.
Thank you.
Joni, I'm so glad you mentioned that history, because we have an opportunity now to really do what was done back in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
We can reshape the system. So I just attended the national meeting of the National Medical Association in Chicago 2 weeks ago. And the new president of the National Medical Association is also the president of Howard University Hospital. And Dr. Roger Mitchell. If you recall, Dr. Roger Mitchell was also the chief medical examiner for the District of Columbia through much of the fentanyl epidemic and the early part of the COVID epidemic. Mm-hmm. So here you have a person who really has seen the worst of the worst of healthcare. And his theme is the new reconstruction. Just think about that. The new reconstruction, because we're actually in a period where we're going to have to do what our ancestors did after the Civil War. That's really how bad things are. But we have this opportunity if we turn inward and use all of the forces within our community, meaning joining together as neighbors and developing a healthcare system that is community-centric as opposed to being so-called patient-centered. Think about that. When we look out for each other and consider that your health is my health, then it really changes the whole focus. And I really thought that after seeing what happened during COVID, when we were so relying on others being careful, others getting vaccinated, how that impacts each one of us, that our whole healthcare system would change. And unfortunately, we're right back to that selfish mode of thinking where we don't necessarily care about the next person. So Dr. Mitchell's four pillars are based on healthcare intelligence, education and economics. The second pillar is environmental and health justice. The third pillar is healthcare justice, access and continuity. And the fourth pillar is a healthcare workforce. So I think we really have a unique opportunity now that we have the president of both Howard University Hospital and the National Medical Association right here in Washington, D.C., that we need to really, as Joni talked about, reconstruct our healthcare system based on what we know works. And that's an Afrocentric approach.
Yes, yes. That Afrocentric means community. I'm sure. I would love to hear about more about those pillars. Maybe we'll do that. You'll break that down in the later broadcast.
But Frank, at some point I can jump in and share some of the historical successes that the Black community has had and benefits all people. So I'm just going to mention a few of them, which isn't talked about enough. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with the Black Panthers. Of course, it could even go before the Black Panthers, but the Black Panthers did a lot of very successful community-based health initiatives. They had a big program of going door to door, knocking on the doors of neighbors and providing them information with hypertension screening, connecting people with some other kinds of information. They were the first in the country to start a nationwide sickle cell screening program, sickle cell anemia screening program. They did hypertension screenings. And they worked with clinics in the community. So that was the Black Panther Party. And, of course, we know about their food programs. Also, churches have done amazing things. Black churches around the country have set up all kinds of very special programs to help people with better eating, serving, promoting fruits and vegetables in their churches. I just read today before the show, Cleveland has 60 churches in Cleveland alone with this program, Body and Soul, which promotes health. There's a National Black Church Institute with 16,000 Black churches around the country looking at how to improve health. So that's another example of some positive things. Another one, a very, very successful program in barbershops. And I know we try to do some of these programs in D.C., but we weren't given the support. But really, it has been successful around the country where specifically Black barbershops, for example, in Chicago. I worked with some of those, one out in California. Trains people to go in, and when people are getting their hair cut, talk about things like hypertension, healthy eating. And so these are examples of programs that have been working really for decades. And they're not usually, they haven't been funded by the government. So there's something that we could consider to try to rebuild and re-strengthen some of those programs right here in D.C.
You mentioned to me earlier in another conversation about what was happening in Cuba. Can you elucidate our audience? Mm-hmm.
Well, Cuba's healthcare system is significantly better than ours, if you look at the statistics and what they do. And again, their model is really based on community participation, community-based involvement. So they train community people to, again, to go door to door, working together with a physician and nurses in a particular neighborhood. So really their model is neighborhood based. So everybody isn't out there struggling on their own to figure out what's wrong with them or what can they do, but they work collectively as a team on a neighborhood approach around healthcare, and their outcomes are significantly better, certainly than here in this country. So they and this has been done in public health circles before, is using Cuba as a model to improve neighborhood-based healthcare. That's certainly something we could do right here in D.C.
Thank you.
So, Joni, I don't know if you're aware of the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities.
Yes, I was going to ask you to speak to that. Yes.
It's just what you described. Mm-hmm. Was founded about 13 years ago on that very principle, initially focusing on the AIDS epidemic. But as we worked with the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities, with Reverend Frank Tucker at the time, and our initial director, Sullivan Robinson, we now have moved forward and expanded that concept and actually received two grants recently from the Department of Behavioral Health dealing with the opioid epidemic. So one grant is for older people with opioid use disorder over the age of 55, and the other is for a burgeoning group of young opioid use disorder individuals in the D.C. Detention Center. Mm-hmm. Imagine 2 years ago, there were 250 residents in the D.C. Detention Center on medication for opioid use disorder, primarily buprenorphine, and a few on methadone. Today, there are 500. So just imagine what happens when they come out. No job, no place to stay, and no access to medication for treatment. And they actually lose their Medicaid while they're in jail. So the Leadership Council for Healthy Communities designed two grant proposals and reached out into the community to two groups, one called the Optimistic Gentlemen and Ladies, and the other is called CRUES, Communities Responding to Every, Respecting Everyone's Will to Survive. And so we've joined forces with people deep into the community who have access to individuals, just what you described.
Absolutely. And the people deep into the community include people right here who host shows on WPFW. Roach Brown, for example, is involved with both of those groups that Dr. Chapman just discussed. So we're, you know, It's very important what Dr. Chapman just said about these organizations being recruited and built in to help with the leadership for healthy communities, new initiative. That's very positive news. Very exciting news.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a couple of people to thank. We got Anonymous from Washington, D.C., for your generous contribution. We also have Diane Nickerson from Brandywine, Maryland. Thank you. And she says she called Dr. Watkins one time and he diagnosed her mother over the phone when other doctors did not. It was sepsis. Man, that's a killer. That's a killer for sure, sepsis. Mayuki, you want to talk or you want to get some more contributions and talk about the Black August, Black Liberation DigiPack?
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for having me, Frank. And again, we want Dr. Watkins to get better. If he felt good, he would be with us. But yes. I'm happy to be here with Joni, a colleague here at WPFW, and Dr. Chapman, as well as yourself, Frank Smith, here talking about health, discussing community, which WPFW is all about. So if you're out there and you're listening, do as Anonymous and Diane Nickerson did. Please go to the phone, make a pledge of support, become a sustainer. You can become a sustainer and you can give WPFW, make it a comfortable bill for yourself, whether it's $10, $25, $30, $100 a month. Give to WPFW consistently so that we can continue bringing this kind of work. If you make a pledge of $12.50, you'll be qualified for the special gift that we have available for this drive, and that's the Black August Black Liberation DigiPack. It is 50 hours of content of both Black August, people like George Jackson and the Soledad Brothers, H. Rat Brown and others, as well as voices of activists, musicians, and poets. Poets such as June Jordan, Amir Baraka, John Coltrane, James Baldwin, with them giving lectures or different pieces of radio that was captured back in Pacifica back in the day. The point is it's available for you for your personal library for a pledge of $150 if you make a pledge of $12.50 a month, which should not hurt you too bad. We hope that that $12.50, instead of spending it on a expensive coffee and a croissant, which isn't, Dr. Watkins would not recommend at all, invest that same money into WPFW so that you can be healthier, so our community can be healthier, so WPFW can be healthier. We have a goal of over $700 to reach before now and 3 o'clock. We've got 18 minutes remaining. We want to thank those who got started, but we really need people who are listening to stop. Don't think about doing it later. Think about doing it now. Pledge to the station that you love. Pledge to the station that has Dr. Watkins here with a platform to share the information, with Frank producing it, with Joni having a show, with Dr. Chapman sharing all this incredible knowledge about community and about how we, I mean, just the idea that we have to talk about reconstruction again here in the 21st century, here in 2025. But the reality is that's what we have to do. And WPFW will empower you and help us do this. Your health is your power. Every Monday, you know, yes. Dr. Watkins delivers life-saving, no-nonsense medical information that you can trust right here on WPFW. No corporate influence. We don't have any partnership with any university. We have you. It is powered by the people. It is powered by you. It is critical. If it's something that you've come to rely upon, please go to the phones, make a call, 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Again, think about becoming a sustainer. Think about how you do streaming or you have other bills that you have paid automatically because you don't want it to be discontinued. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss WPFW. You want to make sure that WPFW is here. WPFW and Dr. Watkins prevents... we help work with prevention to try to save lives. And again, we're all about justice and community. Health is a human right. 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739. We'd like to thank you. While the show is still on, please call or please go to the website, WPFWFM.org. Make a pledge of support. Think about how important this is to you and your lives, how much value you receive from it. And please also, let's give Dr. Watkins and Frank Smith some affirmation, some positive feedback. Yes, your show is valuable to me. Yes, yes, yes. We appreciate it. They are volunteers. They come here sharing all this information because they want to serve this community. This is your opportunity to let them know how much you appreciate it. Dr. Watkins and Frank Smith do this on a weekly basis to keep us healthy. Again, Dr. Watkins' dream is for all of us to be healthy. He has a dream that we can all be healthy, and he helps us get that way. Please, if you're out there listening, we still have over $600 to go. We can get there, but we need your help. 202-588-9739.
Yes, thank you, Miyuki.
Yeah.
I just want to say Dr. Watkins really is a treasure that we have. We're very blessed to have him with us for so many years. He is always very kind, very wise, gives basic information to make us healthier. I know he's helped members of close friends of mine and even my mother when she was very sick when she got COVID. And he'll take a phone call and really help people out right then and there. So I'm hoping that we can show him some love today and really bring these numbers up a little bit more than they are. 202-588-9739.
They're currently abysmal. and we can make the goal. You've done it before. You do it again. Do it again.
Listeners love. They love Dr. Watkins.
Yes, they do.
They're going to come through. They miss hearing his voice. They miss hearing his laugh.
But
if we go ahead and we pledge, and at least he can go back and it'll make him laugh if we make goals. So please think about it. Four people. Just doing $12.50 a month will get us to goal. Four of you out there who love Dr. Watkins, who love WPFW, please go to the phone, 202-588-9739.
Please.
And I believe that Dr. Watkins pretty much always makes his goals. So we don't want this to be today to be any different.
This is a challenge to his patients and the former patients. Help. Help.
yes. Pledge. We'll make that pledge.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Chapman, what are the changes to Medicare that you see forthcoming?
So again, as we mentioned, all of our health care is in jeopardy. Because of this corporate structure and the fact that we have had increased denials for all types of services.
Yes.
So it's not going to be just a matter of focusing on Medicaid or any one fraction. You have to understand that communities of color, as well as rural white communities, are really how these companies make money. They target areas of the country where providers don't have the resources to really challenge these corporate denials. It's done very systematically. It's been reported by the HHS Inspector General's office very consistently that communities. Urban communities like the east side of Washington, D.C., communities in rural areas are particularly targeted for removal of services. So it's up to us to make those changes. We're going to if we listen to Senator Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they've been warning us for a long time that we need universal health care. Now we're actually seeing the end result of this is really corporate murder to deny people health care. There's no other way to describe it. I frequently tell people that without a knife, gun, or gas chambers, using public policy that we're now seeing coming down the pike is deadlier than any of the above.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Do you know that more than a million people could be saved if we just made the change for preventable diseases? And that estimate is low. Mm-hmm. So if we had public health care, decent public health and private health care, that was, public health care, and it's basically free, but if we had private health care that was decent, we could save probably 2 or 3 million lives per year. So you're saying it's across the board, the insurance companies, Medicare and Medicaid and ACA, it's across the board. The corporate takeover has been for all mechanisms to pay for our health care.
I think one other aspect, when we really look at the fourth pillar that Dr. Mitchell talked about, building a healthcare workforce, think of the jobs that could be created.
Yes.
Imagine someone who's 70 years old or 80 years old that goes into the hospital, has a stroke or a heart attack. When they come out, their whole life is changed. They need help in the community. Mm-hmm. If we had then employed people in our community to help support those individuals to keep them from having to go back into the hospital, you're not only saving money by reducing those tertiary costs, but you're also providing employment. So we have the resources in our community, and that's why we reached out to the optimistic gentlemen and ladies and to the crews to create that workforce. We're not just talking about volunteer jobs. We're talking about employment. That's where this money should go.
Thank you, Dr. Chapman. Mm-hmm. And Joni, mm-hmm. Call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. You can go online to wpfwfm.org and make your pledge there. Be sure to mention WPFW and the To Heal DC, For Your Health.
Yeah.
For Your Health.
I'm going to tell Dr. Watkins you did that.
And you know, let me just jump in here with one.
You see?
Yes, sir. We want to thank Anonymous in Suitland, Maryland, who picked up the Black August Digipack. Thank you so much, and gave more than what was necessary. Thank you so much, and became a sustainer. Thank you so much. I want to thank Berlin Dean, who also became a sustainer. Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much. We really appreciate you got us close to goal. We got $220 to go. And then we hit goal. We can make Dr. Watkins help happier and healthier. We will make Frank happy and healthier. We'll know that Dr. Chapman and Joni's work is going and being appreciated. One person making a pledge of $20 a month for the next year. We've got goal, 202-588-9739.
We got a new member. Yay, a new member, yeah. Holly in Silver Spring.
Thank you, Dr. Chapman, and thank you.
Well, I want to say one last thing. I want to quote Malcolm X, who said, the only difference between illness and wellness is we. So we can do it, and that's why we need your support.
Thank you to all our contributors. Thank you so much. I bow down to you for sure.
I want to thank Sherry from McLean, Virginia, and Holly, who, as Joni said, is a new member. We get excited about new people because that means we're expanding our pond. Keep the calls coming. We did make goal. Thank you very much. But we're trying to go further if we can. We had a rat issue where we're taking care of. Thank Dr. Chapman. We want to thank Joni. We want to thank Frank Smith. And we want to especially thank Dr. Theodore Watkins. We want to wish him well. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Miyuki.
Thank you.
Thank you.
kilometer. I tell and a vegan, we're vegan. I and I eat from the earth and need the animals to give birth. No,
five people, the entire Al Jazeera team in Gaza City, and an independent journalist were deliberately murdered by the Israeli government yesterday. As a media outlet, WPFW stands in solidarity with these courageous journalists, the 230 that have been murdered already by the IOF, and those still in Palestine, risking their lives to show the world what is happening to their people. A vigil is being held this evening, 7 until 8:30 p.m., honoring these martyrs at the Palestinian Media Accountability Encampment, 400 North Capitol Street, Northwest. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. Investigators are searching for answers after an explosion at a steel plant in Pennsylvania earlier today killed one person, injured multiple, and trapped others under the rubble. At last check, two workers are unaccounted for. The explosion occurred inside the Clairton Coke Works plant in Clairton, Pennsylvania, which is described as the largest coke manufacturing facility in the United States. This steel plant heats coal at high temperatures to remove volatile materials, leaving behind a pure carbon form known as coke. One construction worker who works less than a half mile away from the steel plant felt the explosion, saying it was a shock wave that almost took the air out of his chest. Another nearby worker described seeing a lot of smoke in the air after the explosion. Therefore, out of caution, the Allegheny, Pennsylvania Health Department is advising all residents who live within a mile of the Clairton Coke Works steel plant to stay inside, close all windows and doors, set their HVAC systems to recirculate, and avoid activities that draw in outside air. Russia's President Vladimir Putin is scheduled to meet with President Trump for a summit this Friday in Alaska to discuss the ongoing war between Russia and Ukraine. It has seemed that the two leaders want to leave Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky out of the summit, but European leaders, including the Chancellor of Germany, have denounced that, stating that Ukraine must have a voice in any realistic peace talks. When asked about President Zelensky wanting to attend the summit, President Trump said, and I quote, "I would say he could go, but he's gone to a lot of meetings. He's been there for 3.5 years and nothing happened," end quote. Also, despite previously being against it, Zelensky has told sources that he is prepared to give up Russian-held territory as part of a peace deal. Crowds have gathered in Gaza to mourn journalists from the Al Jazeera network who were among seven people killed by Israel in a military strike on Gaza yesterday. The United Nations called the fatal strike a grave breach of international humanitarian law. Israel claimed that at least one of the slain journalists was associated with Hamas, but that claim has been denied. The human rights organization Amnesty International is calling for a, quote, independent and impartial investigation into the deliberate killings of Palestinian journalists with justice and full reparations for their families. Amnesty International has said that no conflict in modern history has seen a higher number of journalists killed. President Trump announced that he is placing the D.C. Police Department, quote, under direct federal control and is deploying National Guard troops to the nation's capital to fight crime and clear the city of its homeless population. Trump has claimed that crime in D.C. is totally out of control, despite the fact that officials announced in January of this year that violent crime in the city was at a 30-year low. The U.S. military is generally prohibited under law from directly participating in domestic law enforcement activities. But because the District of Columbia is not a state, the federal government has unusual powers to intervene over the objections of its residents and leaders. In response to the president's recent actions, a rally has been held today by the group Free D.C. and its allies called D.C. is Our Home, Trump Can't Have It. And it was taking place at the public plaza in front of 815 16th Street Northwest. In today's weather, it's currently about 85 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. for WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening.